Thanks for being here today, and let me remind you lovingly about Saturday night services and how much your faith will grow, and God will bless you and give you a new car. No, he won't, but you can park the one you presently have more easily on Saturday nights, so think about that. Hey, guys, just want to remind you, ask you, be praying for. We've had a team out doing disaster relief. Ezra mentioned that. They're headed home today, so be praying for that team. Proud of them, grateful for them. There's another team leaving. If you want to go out east and to help with that, there's another team leaving this coming Wednesday, and they'll do the same thing, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, home on Sunday, kind of to get off work if you need to. And then I think the next weekend as well. So you can go to our website, just find it, look at the giveaway section. You'll find it there, Sandy Relief, or you can go out to the giveaway kiosk out in the cafe, and we'll try to help get you organized with that. But this is kind of our emergency response, and then we'll formulate more of a long-term plan, obviously. But if you want to pitch in with that, it's a lot of like rip this wall down, pull this carpet out kind of stuff. And I encourage you to be a part of that if you want to. We're starting a new series this weekend called Pursuit. And what I wanted to do was I wanted to take a few weeks here. We just did a big old long, very definitive series called One Step. Encourage you, if you missed that or missed any part of it, to go listen to it, get the podcast. It's all free there on the internet, on our website. Really trying to lay down some foundational stuff. We have like a 3-week block before we start Christmas stuff. And I wanted to take this 3-week time and zero us in as a church. God has opened up many, many avenues and opportunities for us that we're exploring and need to understand and need to be ready to embark on. Big dreams, lots of fun stuff, lots of vision, big price tags. Some of those price tags are financial. We'll tell you about it bluntly when it's time. Most of them are not. A lot of sacrificial, am I a part of what's going on? A lot of me strengthening my relationship with God so that I can kind of support this movement God's given us. And so for the next few weeks, we're going to talk about all that. I'm going to lay some of it out today. We'll talk about some the next week and then the next week. And just let you know, if we want to see God continue to do what he's done through grace, this is kind of what it takes to make that happen. And tell you about these fun opportunities that God has in front of us. We just spent a month and a half, more than that, 2.5 months almost, talking about Matthew 22, 37 through 40. That is often called the Great Commandment. Somebody asked Jesus, hey, bottom line it for me. And Jesus said, here it is. This is what God wants from you. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. That's the first and greatest commandment. The second's like it, love your neighbor as yourself. And if I was going to teach you, like I actually just did, how to interact with God, that's the core of it, the baseline. You interact with God by loving God. And the overflow of that is a love for your neighbor that you have as yourself. And then Jesus says, all the law and all the prophets hang on these two commandments. Everything is woven together by those two things, okay? So if that is the how we're supposed to be interacting with God, this next portion that I'm going to show you this weekend is the what are we supposed to do about that. So Jesus answers that question also a couple chapters away. So grab your Bibles, open them up to Matthew 28. If you don't have a Bible, there's some there in the chairs. It's page 698 in those Bibles. Matthew 28, page 698. Smartphone, iPad, folks, we use the YouVersion app, Y-O-U version. Download that, click on Live Event, and our zip code is 44333. This passage, for some of you, is probably real familiar. For others of us, we've never even read it before. Jesus has risen from the dead. He has been interacting with his followers, and he's getting ready to go back to heaven or to ascend into heaven. And so this is kind of like his last thing that he says. And what he does is he gives marching orders, so to say, to the church that he's forming or about ready to form, okay? So he's like, this is the what. What are you supposed to do? And he says this in verse 19. He says, therefore, go, make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. He looks at his followers. He's like, I'm going to heaven. If you know the Bible well, he would say the Holy Spirit's coming down here before too long. I'm going to birth the church, and this is what the church is supposed to do. You're to go make disciples of all nations. In the Bible, the word nations doesn't mean countries. It means people groups. So go make disciples of all tribes and nations, people groups, okay? Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything that I have commanded you. The Bible says, and we've been studying this, learning this, the Bible says, Jesus came to save you from your sins. So Jesus is the God of the invitation. He's not the God of the indictment. We've indicted ourselves. So Jesus came to earth to provide a path of salvation for you to be rescued from your sins. So John 3:16 and verse 17, I'm going to quote this from about three different translations probably, but it says something along these lines. God sent his only son into the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that who should ever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. John 3:16 and 17. If you forget the reference, just watch a football game this afternoon, okay? So that is kind of to you and me, so to say. I sent my son to you individually, so if you believe in me individually, you may receive salvation. I did not send my son to you to condemn you. You're already condemned. I sent my son to save you from that condemnation, to reconcile you, is the way that Paul would say it, back to God, help you to get right with God. So in our interaction with God, there's a truth to that. There's a personal interaction that we have with God. God personally wants to save you from your sin. Our faith is personal. It is not, however, private. It's public. Okay, we're going to talk about this more in a minute. And our faith comes to an individual, but it is not individualized. So the Bible says when I accept the forgiveness of my sin, a bunch of things happen in my life, right? So one, my heart is washed clean of sin. My sins are forgiven. Another thing that happens, the Bible says, is the Holy Spirit comes and lives within me, indwells my heart, okay, and interacts with me. Another thing that happens that we don't talk about as much is we become a part of the church. So I have my personal faith in Jesus, and then when I accept Christ, I also become a part of this corporate thing. That's why you can't go to the Church of the Woods, right? I'm a part of something. Now I'm kind of birthed into it. The Bible would say I'm called out from amongst the world to be a part of God's church, and that's a huge part of how my faith operates, is that I have this personal interaction with God, and then I have this corporate identity, corporate interaction with God through God's church. So Jesus came to bring salvation to you, and then he kicked into gear a plan, and his plan is that through you, the church, you are to bring the good news of Jesus, truth of Jesus, to the world. So we do this. I accept Christ. I become a part of the we, and we go to all the nations, and we preach the gospel, and we make disciples, baptize them, and teach them to obey everything God has commanded us. So when you're looking at the church, the prime directive of the church is the Great Commission. It's like job one, right? Right? Like maybe job two, after honor and glorify God. Job two is go. Take that good news. We do that. That is to be kind of the baseline of everything that the church does. Now, let's just take a few minutes here this morning, and let me walk you through the Great Commission. We're going to have a good old-fashioned Bible study here this morning. Excited, huh? 4 points and everything, huh? They don't rhyme, though. But, huh? It'd be fun. You excited? Yeah, I thought so. Okay, so here we go. Great Commission. The Great Commission has four elements in it that are important to understand. Okay, four elements in it. Here's the first one. We, the church, are to go. We are to go. So this is Jesus' command, right? Go and make disciples of all nations. So we are to go. This is this idea. Wherever I receive the gospel geographically, if I accepted Christ here at Grace and I receive the gospel in the greater Akron area, okay? Wherever I receive the gospel geographically, or wherever I happen to be geographically, so we happen to be here in the greater Akron area, right? Because we're sitting here this morning together, okay? From this place, we are to go out with the gospel. This is the commission of the church. Wherever you are, you take the gospel where you are, obviously, but you also go from there, the Great Commission. So it's this idea that the church is directed by Christ to intentionally, purposely, sacrificially, and doggedly take the good news of Jesus forward from wherever place we received it. We're to stubbornly, passionately, relentlessly push to take the gospel forward. And for us, this local church that God has formed together, we would start in Akron, so to say, and we would move from there. Now, that command to go needs to hit you on two levels. One is individually. Okay, so I am a part of the church as an individual, and a church is the sum total of its individual parts. So individually, I'm asking myself this question: what does it mean for me to go? What role do I play in the Great Commission? Does God want me to be the missionary? Does God want me to go on a church plant? Does God want me to go? What do you want for me personally to do to play kind of my role in the Great Commission? I love the old quote. There's this old artist named Keith Green. He's my favorite probably artist. And he used to say this. He used to say, if you're not called to stay, then you're called to go. So if you've never asked God the question, God, is this where you want me to be to impact your kingdom, to fulfill the Great Commission? Then the natural default is I'm supposed to be going somewhere else. Okay? All right? So I had to wrestle with that question individually. What role do I play? Now, the second level that we wrestle with that question is corporately. As a local church, Grace Church of Greater Akron, okay, as a local church, what is our role in the Great Commission? What part do we play in it? It's not incumbent upon us to fulfill it all by ourselves. That would be arrogant, right? But it is incumbent upon us to say we are an individual part of a whole. This local church is a part of the great church of Jesus. What role do we play in it, and how do we position ourselves to take advantage of that? That's why here at Grace we say, God did not give the church to the church alone. He gave the church to the world. The purpose of the church is not for us to feel good about each other. The purpose of the church is not simply for us to take care of each other. The purpose of the church is not for us to get a shot of inspiration once a week. That has nothing to do with what the church is about. Okay? The purpose of the church is to take the good news of Jesus to the world. Those other things kind of happen as we're doing that. So God gave the church to the world. He didn't give the church to church. That's why you don't accept Jesus and go to heaven right away, because we have a mission to fulfill. And God's like, you're the plan, right? So you go and I want you to do that. So individually, what part do I play in it as a follower of Jesus Christ? And then corporately, what part do we play in it? So that's the first element. The first element is to go. Here's the second one. The second element is to go and make disciples. Make disciples. That's the answer to the question, what do we do once we get there? Okay? Now, hear me. The mission of the church is not to go and feed hungry people. The mission of the church is not to go and dig wells in Africa. The mission of the church is not to go and be nice. Catch this one. This will get me fired. Here you go. The mission of the church is not even to go and ask people if they want to go to heaven. It's not the mission of the church. The mission of the church is to go and make disciples. Okay? You go ask anybody, would you rather go to heaven or hell? I mean, chances are they're going to say heaven, right? I'm going to put my money on that. That's not what we're asking people. We're asking people, would you want to follow Jesus Christ? Become like Jesus. Mold your life after Jesus' life. Download the love of Jesus, let it transform you, okay? Now, in that is the question, do you want to go to heaven? And a lot of times, the way that we earn the right for that question is by feeding people or clothing them or, okay? So we do all those things, but it's all in the context of the Great Commission. It's to go and make disciples, people who are following after the heart and the love of Jesus, okay? We're called to take the good news and invite them to that good news, but in that invitation is the explanation of what it actually means to follow Jesus. Heaven's kind of the cherry on top. The call is to be a follower of Jesus Christ. So the Great Commission is go make disciples, and then baptize is the third one. Baptize, okay? Now, what is baptism? Let's talk about what it's not. Baptism is not your path to salvation. Getting baptized doesn't save you, okay? Because you're not saved by works, so it doesn't save you. Baptism is not somebody else's path to salvation. Okay, so the Mormon church would teach that you can get baptized for somebody else and that gets them out of hell and lets them into heaven. So a good Mormon will be baptized hundreds, if not thousands of times over the course of their life, okay? None of that's true. This is what baptism is. Baptism is tied to my public identification with Christ and his church, okay? Church isn't a thing or an option. It's a spiritual deal that we're born into when we're saved. So I'm publicly identifying with Christ, and I'm publicly identifying with his church. So this idea of go make disciples and baptize them is about this public identification, okay, with a church, the spiritual entity of a church, and with the conversion or my spiritual identity with the person of Jesus Christ. Right? So I'm going to go, make disciples, baptize them, and then the fourth element is teach them to obey everything that I've commanded you. The idea of teaching to obey is this. It's that we journey with people. We journey with people. I want to walk with you and help you understand the heart and the mind of Christ. The Great Commission is not going places and being nice. Okay. Sometimes going places and being nice earns the right of relationship. Okay, so I actually believe that it's often mirrored or tied to the Great Commission. But it's not just doing wells and doing medicine and those kind of things. If you just did that, you'd pull up short on the Great Commission. Okay, catch this. The Great Commission is also not going someplace and dropping the gospel bomb. It's not standing on the street corner and saying, "You're going to hell." And that's not the Great Commission. That's called the Great Annoyance. It's also in the Bible. That's not the Great Commission. The Great Commission is I go and I give my life to you, okay? And I tell you the good news of Jesus. I tell you what it means to follow Jesus. I help you publicly identify, and then I teach you. Either I personally teach you or I entrust you to someone, a local church, that would personally teach you how to obey all that Christ has commanded you, okay? So those four elements, go, make disciples, right? Go, make disciples, baptize them, teach them, obey. Those are the four elements of the Great Commission. The Great Commission is the foundational piece of the church. How does God want me to interact with him? Love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That reflects then in loving your neighbor as yourself. All the prophets hang on those two things. You can't understand the Bible if you don't understand those two things. What do I do with that? You do the Great Commission. Individually, you have a role. Corporately, we have a role, okay? And these are the driving kind of paradigms that move us forward as a church. Now, guys, this is hugely important, because we at Grace make decisions through the Great Commission paradigm, and they only make sense if you look at them through those paradigms, okay? We're going to, at the end of our service, we're gonna commission our Medina East campus. We would look and say, that is a huge win. We're so excited about doing that. If you looked at Grace from a business sense, you might say, wait, you're sending 200 customers away and giving them to somebody else? That doesn't make any sense. Right. It's very bad business it's very awesome, Great Commission stuff, okay? Some will say, well, the church is like, you know, it's a business. Jeff, you run a business. No, I don't run a business. We don't make a profit, and if we do, we give it away. That's a very bad way to run it. You don't want me to run your business that way, do you? Okay? We're a church. We don't function that way because we're in a different paradigm, okay? We function through the paradigm of the Great Commission. So at Grace, we're always asking ourselves, how do we corporately, we play our role in the Great Commission? Because the Great Commission defines our thinking in a lot of ways. And this is what I want us to see here as we're coming up on these big decisions and these big dreams. So for instance, we would say that because of the Great Commission corporately, when given the option between staying and going, we will always choose to go, right? Because of the Great Commission. So we want to go. Here's a practical play out of this. When given the options between building a bigger auditorium here on Gent Road and starting a campus in Medina, we're going to choose the campus because we're going to go. Given the option between building a bigger auditorium here at Gent Road or buying the used church building and launching something more grassroots over in Copley, we bought that building. Because in the Great Commission paradigm, if given the option, we're going to go. Now, we haven't always been given the option. Like when we built this building, we didn't have another option. So we're like, okay, I feel like God called us to stay here and do this. It's fine, right? But when we started facing that again, we're like, well, God gave us options. Seems like the default should be to go, right? That's through Great Commission thinking. In the spring, we're going to have some missionaries from our church, people who have come to Grace just like you do, got a vision for what God's doing, and they're saying, we want to actually be people who go and live in a different country, and we want to be sent from Grace Church. And we would say, home run, right? We're going to go. Let's take our time, our energy, our finances, and make that happen, okay? Well, that doesn't benefit us directly. That's irrelevant. That's not the point. But Great Commission thinking, it's awesome, okay? This is why we go to the inner cities. The inner cities, for many of us, don't regularly affect our lives. We can avoid it. We just don't go that far down Market Street. No big deal, right? What we would look and say, no, as a church, we're going to purposely go there. Well, why? Because we go. That's what we do, right? We take the light of Jesus into those places. So because we're driven by the Great Commission, when given the option to go, we go. We want you to think that way individually. We want, as a church, to release you into everyday life. Some of you who have transferred into Akron from other towns and cities have said to me over the years, you've said, you know, Grace doesn't have a lot of programs. Like there's no women's ministry, no men's ministry. It's kind of, I'm like, right. How come you don't have a lot of programs? Because I don't want you in the building all the time. I want you out in the real world. I want you out in life, right? Heidi and I do that. If given the choice between a party in the neighborhood and a meeting at Grace, we'll skip church, and we'll go to the party in the neighborhood. And I'll just be honest with you, they're a little bit more fun anyways. I'm just saying, our neighborhood throws a great party, okay? They do. And so why? Because I want you in everyday life. We'll catch up later, right? I'll meet you every Sunday or preferably Saturday night. I'll meet you right here, right? We'll catch up later. But when given the option to be in everyday life, go to class, go to campus, go to work, go to the neighborhood thing, whatever, you know, go do that, right? That's Great Commission perspective, paradigm, okay? So we believe, we would say that we should go. Then we would say we would strive to make disciples. The whole reason why we took a month and or 2.5 months to walk you through one step, the whole reason why we wrote those journals, the whole reason why I write books and we're going to write more is to make disciples, to help you get deeper in love with Jesus. Grace doesn't do big evangelistic events, if you're familiar with that term. Okay, we don't bring in the Christian whoever and try to, we do, very, very rarely would we do that. Why? Because we want to make disciples. You're the best evangelist we have. You are. We want to make disciples. If you can become a fully devoted follower of Jesus, you'll share the good news with people. Done. Right? We're going to give our energy to making disciples. We've structured the church in such a way that if you would like to be a part of discipleship, you're saying, I don't know the Bible or this Christian thing is really new to me. There's all kinds of those places here at Grace. Let me just say this, and I mean it lovingly. But if you don't know the Bible and you've been coming to Grace for a while and you're not grounded in your faith, you've been coming to Grace for a while, that's kind of on you. Because there are avenues galore for you to take advantage of that. Because we believe so strongly in discipleship. So we set the whole church up to go that way, okay? So we're going to organize in those things, okay? We're going to ask people to follow Jesus as we're helping meet their physical needs. So Grace does very, very few things where we just meet a physical need. Once in a while, like feed my starving children, that kind of stuff, we'll do it once in a while. But that's not our everyday go after it stuff. Because if I fill your belly and leave your soul empty, I'm not sure I've helped you. Okay? But I don't want to ignore your need. I don't think that's godly either. So Grace is always going to do both. Right? Because we make disciples. Okay? This is why I don't want you to come to church all the time. But I very passionately want you to live a Christ-centered life. You being Christ-like at work is a bigger win than you sitting in this room five nights a week. Okay, I don't want to be here five nights a week, frankly. Okay, it's exhausting, and I'm really into 24 right now on Netflix. So I got stuff to do, you know what I'm saying? So right? But you being the light of Jesus is more important. So we're going to go, given the option corporately, we're going to make disciples. Given the option corporately, we're going to lean into baptism, or we're going to help other people identify with the local church. So most of what Grace does is tied to other local churches or the planting of new local churches. Okay, that's very philosophical for us. If we don't leave a church behind, we don't feel like we've completed our mission. Yes, we're going to feed hungry kids. Yes, we're going to drill clean wells for folks that are getting diseases. Yes, we're going to do medicine. And yes, we're going to work to leave local churches in our path. Okay? Because that identity with Christ and his church is the essence of what Jesus is talking about there. So we're going to go, make disciples, baptize, and then we want to teach. We believe that we should be teaching them to obey everything that we've commanded. This is the idea of journeying. Grace does not go and will not go and drop the gospel bomb. Okay? What we will do is we will go and stay. When we partner with somebody locally or globally, it's a permanent partnership, as far as the foreseeable future is concerned. Because we're going to go and we're going to stay so that we can journey with people, or we can make sure that there's a local church that we can hand them to that they can journey with people. And teach them through our lives and through our relationship how to obey Jesus. This is why we offer so many classes here at Grace. And I'm just going to say this again, and I mean this lovingly. If you're not studying the Bible and you feel like that's a void in your life, that's kind of on you. It's kind of on you. There is a gazillion classes and ways to study the Bible here at Grace. Okay? But you have to embrace that. And so we put tons of resources and energy into that because we believe this is what we're called to do, to teach, to obey, right? This is why we do life groups. It's why I would rather you come to life group than weekend services, okay? Because journeying together, hashing that out. We had a killer service last weekend. It was phenomenal. What excited me the most was hearing about the conversations that happened in people's family rooms later. As you take that and then push it into your life. See, that's where the action happens, okay? So we're going to set up like that. We're going to teach each other, help each other to obey, all right? And it's also why we want to train pastors and missionaries, okay? We want to multiply and push that way. Okay, so Great Commission, huge. It's the paradigm here at Grace. It is how we think. It's how we function. It's how we make decisions. When you look at us, planting a campus and putting money into that and buying a building and putting money, you see us spreading out. That's all because of the Great Commission. We would say, yeah, that's a natural reflex for us. okay? When you see families uprooting and saying, we'll move to the inner city, we'll go to Medina, we'll move to Africa, well, we would say that's a grand slam. That's more fun than an attendance record, okay? Because that's a go. That's a reflex for us. We want to do that because we think through that paradigm of the Great Commission. Now, this is why this is so cool. You, as an individual member of Grace, now we have to always renew this commitment to function off the foundation of the Great Commission, okay? The Great Commission has been the tradition of Grace Church, and it will be the trajectory of Grace Church. The Great Commission is how we were birthed and what we've done. It's the tradition of Grace Church. I'm the senior pastor of all of Grace Church, and I just tell you, as long as my hand's on the wheel, it's going to be the trajectory of Grace Church. Because we would look at the Bible and we would say, this is the to-do, right? This is what God told us to do, to go make disciples, baptize, and teach people to obey all that Christ has commanded us to do. Now, I want you to see this. We have huge things happening here, huge things, things that we want and need you to be a part of. And you're going to start to wrestle with the question of how you invest yourself. How do I invest my money? How do I invest my time? How do I invest my energy? What decisions do I make? What's a better and best decision? And I want to submit to you that there is no greater return on your investment than your investment in the Great Commission. 54 years ago, 40 people founded Grace Church. They started meeting in a cheese factory in Norton, okay? 40 people, 54 years ago, meeting in a cheese factory in Norton. They made a decision, an overriding decision. We're going to have a great commitment to the Great Commission. This is going to be our DNA and what drives us, okay? 54 years later, that commitment has played out literally in this room this morning. And that commitment has affected the globe from 40 people meeting in a cheese factory in Norton in 1958, okay? They made decisions. As they came across barriers, we got to raise money, we got to hire staff, we got to build buildings, we got to decide to plant other camps, all of the exact same things that we would face today, same questions. Every time they were faced with that question, individually, then corporately, they would say yes to Jesus by saying yes to the Great Commission. 6,000 people now call Grace Church home. Just here. I'm not talking about our global stuff. Just here. That is a 15,000% return on the investment of those 40 people. 15,000% return on that investment by simply saying yes. Is there a need? Is there a sacrifice? Is there an option? Is there? We say yes, 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 yes. You find me another investment in your life that gives you a 15,000% return, and I will give you my bank account. There is no greater investment, and that is just here. From those 40 people in 1958 meeting in a cheese factory saying yes to Jesus, the good news of Christ has spread throughout the world. Tens of thousands of people in Norton, Bath, Copley, Medina, Akron, Barberton, Wadsworth, Strongsville, Cleveland. These are all places that Grace Church is active at this very moment. Tens of thousands of people know the name of Jesus because of our church. People all over Greater Akron know the name of Jesus because of the sacrifices of our church. Salvation is being brought to people all over Greater Akron because of the service of Grace Church. 15,000% return on the investment. Light is breaking in the inner cities. The hungry are being fed. The homeless are being housed. The addicted are being supported. The neglected are being embraced. The widows and orphans are being loved. The prostitutes are being reached. The uneducated are being tutored. The jobless are being trained. Convicts are being given a second chance. All that happens every single week from Grace Church, simply saying yes to the Great Commission. Spanish-speaking churches are being planted in Tampa in California. College students are being reached. Kids who grew up at Grace, who say, I'm going to live my life through the paradigm of the Great Commission, came back to us and said, would you help us reach the least reached people group in North America, college students? We want to go to campuses and be missionaries. Okay, that's happening all over the country right now from Grace Church. And it's happening right now. Jesus today, this moment, is being proclaimed in Muslim nations. The sick are encountering compassion in Africa. Evangelists and church planters are being raised up in Chad. The confused are finding clarity in Mexico City. The unreached are unearthing truths in Mazatlan, Mexico. The hopeless are discovering hope in Haiti. Our military are being reached through the chaplains that are raised up through Grace Church. Native Americans are being affected in New Mexico. Churches are being planted in Virginia Beach, Strongsville, and Akron, all by families who dislodged themselves from here and went to fulfill their role in the Great Commission. In Brazil, France, Cambodia, Chad, Central African Republic, the slums of the Bahamas, Argentina, Canada, the Ukraine, Portugal, and the ghetto of Philadelphia. All people, this isn't like stuff where we send a couple bucks. All people who said yes to the Great Commission from Grace Church. Wells are being dug, hospitals are being built, English is being taught, medical care is being given, churches are being planted, and the name of Jesus is being proclaimed. Because 40 people in a cheese factory said yes to the Great Commission. So here we are. Here we are. And we're the keepers of this call right now. And the question for us is absolutely no different than it was for the 40 people in the cheese factory. The question is, do you say yes to the Great Commission? When it's time to go, do you say yes? When it's time to make disciples, do you say yes? When it's time to baptize, do you say yes? Times, do you say yes? When a sacrifice is required, do God's people say yes? Whether it's financial or your time or your energy or your very life and way of life. I've asked God. I said, God, 40 to 6,000 people, 15,000% return on the investment. God, all I want is that same kind of return in the next 50 years. Small request, right? If God simply did what he has done and God's people say yes, you're talking about 900,000 people. That's the stats, right? And then, I'll be honest, we'll have to build a bigger auditorium. Okay? I don't know what God's going to do with all that, but I know what God has called us to right now, and I know what our answer needs to be. I like to say that I believe the secret sauce of Grace Church is her people's willingness to sacrifice. This is our tradition. When asked the question, the people of Grace Church for 54 years have said yes. And that question doesn't change, and neither should our answer. What might God do through us? See, it's our turn. It's our time. If we say yes to him, what kind of return might he give to us?